Welcome to Skin Deep. I'm Dr. Anna Chacon, and today we have a very special guest joining us. Get ready for some expert insights you won't want to miss. Let's dive right in.
Tell me a little bit about, they told me a little bit about you.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick scoop. I'm a compounding dermatology pharmacist. My specialty is dermatology, and I only make skincare products. I specialize in treating burns and traumas. And what I discovered many years ago is that when you heal a burn, the skin comes back more beautiful. And so I repurposed my burn formulas and trauma formulas, and also acne and psoriasis and regular form skin disease formulas, skin pathology formulas for anti-aging products. As you know, I'm sure the same mechanisms that are involved in healing the skin beautify the skin. And if a skincare product does not heal, it doesn't beautify either. Growing collagen, stimulating the growth of keratinocytes, increasing the strength of the skin barrier. These are all functions of healing. And what I feel like, and what I discovered, is the missing link in beauty is healing. Healing precedes beauty. Healing is first and then beauty second. We're trying to hack into beauty without addressing the health of the tissue. And I don't know anything about beauty, but I know a lot about health. And I'm in addition to being a formulator and a pharmacist, I'm also a nutritionist. So what I did is I created a strategy for delivering topical nutrients to the skin using transdermal delivery systems, which we studied in pharmacy school, and vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids, and basically created a line of topical nutritional supplements that not only function to beautify the skin, but also heal the skin. So you can use our anti-aging products on cuts and scrapes and your baby's diaper rash and sunburn. In addition to being anti-aging products, they're also essentially first aid products, not using medication, not using drugs, but using nutrition, which, as it turns out, I'm sure you know, are the most powerful ingredients that you can use topically, because they're the only real ingredients that a cell uses. Yeah. Cell doesn't use medicine, it uses nutrition. And so basically what true treatments are topical nutritional supplements, addressed initially formulated for healing, but designed now to address all beautification needs. Anti-aging, moisturization, reduction of full-blown skin diseases, strengthening skin barrier, et cetera.
Okay, awesome. Excellent. Yeah, so you are a registered pharmacist, correct?
I'm an RPH, yes, and I studied at the University of Colorado in Boulder. And interestingly, when I was in pharmacy school, the gentleman who invented Blistex, the lip medicine Blistex, was one of my professors. And the Blistex research facility was in the basement of the School of Pharmacy in Boulder. And one day I just serendipitously stumbled into his lab. And the next thing I knew, I was his research, Dr. Jones's research assistant. And for the next 4 years, I developed Blistex products. Myself and a couple other folks and Dr. Jones developed a whole bunch of Blistex products, as well as other healing products. And I learned soup to nuts how you formulate like a medicinal chemist, how you test, how you research, how you formulate, how you design. And then when I graduated pharmacy school, I started a compounding dermatology pharmacist, probably the only compounding dermatology pharmacist in the world. And that's what I do today, is I fill prescriptions for folks who have various skincare needs, or who are dealing with traumas, or who want to prevent scarring, as well as formulation of topical over-the-counter products. And as I say, I'm also a nutritionist. If you go online, you see my body of work, you'll see that mostly I talk about nutrition, more than skincare even. And there's a lot of folks who don't even know I do skincare. They just know that as a nutritional pharmacist. And then sometimes people say, why are you doing nutrition if you're a pharmacist? And I say, nutrition is God's medicine. It's divine pharmaceuticals. Nutrients are what drugs dream they could be. When a drug goes to bed at night, when prednisone goes to bed at night, it dreams it was vitamin C. Because nutrition provides you everything that a medication will deliver, with no toxicity, no side effects, of course. And you get pleiotropy. You get multiple benefits in addition to the benefit that you're looking for. So I focus on nutrients where other healthcare practitioners focus on medications.
Okay, cool. How long have you had the Truth Treatment Systems?
It started in 2013. Uh-huh. So I guess now 11 years. Or no, 12 years. Oh my goodness. It'll be 12 years in October.
Is it prescription?
No.
Or medical grade?
No, it's over the counter. It's all nutrition. Okay. You know, what I discovered was that drugs don't really heal. You can suppress inflammation perhaps, or kill bacteria, that kind of thing. But if you really want to grow tissue, which is really what we're about, is growing tissue, you need nutrition. You need vitamin C. You need minerals. You need fatty acids. You need nutrients that the cells can actually use, that can be assimilated into keratinocytes and fibroblasts, and that can actually activate cell chemistry. And that's the whole thing, is that nutrition is the missing link. I feel like health is the missing link in beauty. We hack into beauty, and there's a lot of ways, you know, we're technologically speaking, we're very sophisticated at hacking into beauty. Botox, for example, is a classic example of how we hack into beauty. Even moisturization, really ironically, and you may know this, I don't know, you'll certainly understand it. Moisturization suppresses skin chemistry. So the more moisturizer you use, the drier your skin will be. So all of our strategies for treating the skin, whether for beautifying the skin or for addressing skin health issues, really are counterproductive. And this is why nobody's happy with their skincare. This is why we have thousands of skincare companies and tens of thousands of products, because everybody's looking for the latest and greatest. And instead of redesigning the way skincare products are delivered and rethinking the whole strategy of using skincare, we just are always looking for a new ingredient. And think about it, all the things, you know, the companies that come to you with their products, they're always talking about a new ingredient. They're always talking about the latest herb or the latest peptide or the latest growth hormone. Nobody's ever thought to redesign the architecture of the formulation. So for example, my formulations have no water, no waxes, no fillers, no preservatives, no gums. They're just vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids in esters and other transdermal delivery systems. Essentially two compartments, nutrients which function as the active ingredients, and then delivery systems which traverse the stratum corneum and get to where the living cells are. I mean, if you're on the surface of the skin and you feel a product on the surface of your skin, that's the booby prize. You need to be down in the basal layer in the dermis. And the only way to do that is with strategies that allow those nutrients to get, or whatever actives you're using, to get to those layers. And that's where pharmacists at Casale, we study transdermal penetration for 2 full years. And so I leverage some of those understandings, not needing to get into the circulatory epidemic, but I studied those transdermal strategies for delivering nutrients to the basal layer and to the dermis. And the whole proof, and the, you know, these are all great theories, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating, as they say. The proof is if you use our True Skin Health products, whether it's our True Transdermal C Serum, True Transdermal C Balm, whatever it is, on cuts and scrapes and burns, you'll notice accelerated healing. And another issue is the dose. So my True Transdermal C Serum is almost 80% vitamin C. Fat-soluble vitamin C, which is ridiculous when you think about it. Most vitamin C products are 5, 10%. I'm talking 80%, 79% exactly. Here's another thing. Retinol. People completely misunderstand retinol. And so our retinol serum and our retinol balm is 5%, 5.0%, not 0.5, not 0.05, 5%. Say, oh my God, how could you do that? Well, that's because we re-architected the entire delivery system and the formulation, including, for example, 25% fat-soluble vitamin C with our retinol, so we can get high doses of active ingredients without creating any trauma or irritation. It's a whole formulation strategy. It's an intelligent way of formulating that I developed in the pharmacy by necessity, because I had patients who were traumatized. I couldn't say, oh, you know, this influencer loves this product. Oh, doesn't this feel good? Or, oh, doesn't this smell good? I had to really make medicine because I was dealing with traumatized patients.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's a whole interesting philosophy. And we also use nutritional, I formulate nutritional supplements as well. And nutrition is really an internal nutrition, that is even more important than topical nutrition when it comes to having healthy skin, and dietary strategies as well. Glycation, PCOS, for example, dihydrotestosterone. These are all hormonal issues or hormonal precedents. To skin diseases that need to be addressed if you're going to take care of acne, or you're going to take care of oily skin, or you're going to take care of psoriasis or hyperproliferative issues. So it's a combination of internal nutrition and topical nutrition that really does the trick. And that's why I call myself a nutritional pharmacist.
Cool.
Is this the podcast we're doing?
Yeah. It's very informal.
Okay, yeah. I thought this was, okay.
No, okay. Yeah, this is it. And is Truth Systems the name of the pharmacy, or you had a pharmacy before?
The pharmacy is called Truth RX Dermatology Pharmacy, and it's a fully licensed pharmacy from the state of Colorado, and we do things like topical anesthetics and skin lighteners and retinoic acid products, all topical. And then the over-the-counter line is called Truth Skin Health Products, or Truth Treatments, DBAs, Truth Treatments.
Okay. All right. So let me ask for a couple more questions here. And then, yeah, it's interesting because someone told me last week I should get a pharmacy. Like, if I have all this disposable income, they said, okay, well, you have so many patients, you have, a high volume of prescriptions, you should just buy a pharmacy. And I was like, yeah, that's not something I can
There's
even imagine.
a lot of hoops to jump through when you have a pharmacy, for sure.
Yeah. And you have to be licensed to
Oh
actually
yeah.
the states that you deliver to. For most of your products, they're over the counter, right?
Almost all of them are over the counter.
Which prescription products do you have?
Hydroquinone, retinoic acid, not much more than that. Topical anesthetics, lidocaine, prilocaine, tetracaine, high concentrations of benzocaine. I don't know if benzocaine actually you can do over the counter. Mostly that's it. It's topical anesthetics, hydroquinone, and retinoic acid, and that's pretty much it.
What states can you deliver that to? Just curious.
We're licensed in all states.
Oh, the truth. Okay. And
We
how
are.
do you, Truth Rx, how would you order it?
Well, if you wanted to order for your patients or for yourself.
No, because I didn't hear about your pharmacy before.
If you want to order for your patients, they would just you would either call us and we would ship the product out, or if you wanted something for yourself, we do products for physicians in office. So for example, some of our physicians do lasers and that kind of thing, and
Yeah.
so they'll topical anesthetics, pretty potent ones. I like to formulate. So for example, I've got some topical anesthetic formulations that have concentrations of active ingredients, co concentrations of anesthetic that are unheard of. I've got a topical anesthetic design for the Morpheus. I don't know if you're familiar with the Morpheus laser.
Hey, yeah, Morpheus
It's
eight.
super intense, right? 75% anesthetic, which is really crazy when you think about it. Most anesthetics, most topical anesthetic products are 30, 40% kind of thing. This is 75% anesthetic. I'm a creative formulator. And so my formulations are completely outside the box. That's why if you look at our cleansers, for example, most cleansers are 80, 90% water. Our cleansers have no water in them. In fact, our cleansers are almost 50% lipid, which is unheard of. It's very difficult to create a surfactant or a cleansing formula in a lipid base. And that's why you don't see those. As you probably know, cleansers have a reputation for disturbing the lipids on the skin. This is what causes the dryness and irritation. I formulated a non-anhydrous lipid-rich cleanser that is 50% lipid, that is super soft, super smoothing for the skin, and you can even use it for a shaving cream. And of course, it's great for post-laser or for skin that has been traumatized because it does not strip skin lipids and is completely non-irritating. The surfactant I use is actually an amino acid surfactant that is based in one of the skin's most important amino acids, most important hydrating amino acids, which is taurine. And so all of my formulations are very outside the box because I'm outside the box. And I like being outside the box because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And believe it or not, the modern skincare products, the so-called emulsion, the cream or the lotion, was developed in the 18th, I'm sorry, the 19th century, in the 1800s. And today we're still using the same basic structure, the same basic formulation structure that Helena Rubinstein, who's considered to be the mother of the modern skincare business, developed in the mid-19th century, which is crazy when you think about it. Even if you want to go back further in time, Galen, who was a Roman physician in the year 200 AD, is the guy who came up with the emulsion. And we're still doing that. And so skincare has got this connotation of being silly and not even effective. Even the word cosmetic means to rearrange, when we have so much more power through topical application if you redesign the formulations that people are using. And that's what I had to do, again, by necessity, because I was dealing with wounded people or people who had skin pathologies. I couldn't give them the same old. And so by necessity, I came up with these strategies of delivering super high concentrations of nutrients in transdermal vehicles without all the stuff that you don't need. Most people are paying for water and wax and filler and emulsifiers and surfactants and things that they don't need in their skincare products. And then they wonder why their skincare products don't work. And I saw this in the pharmacy. There's this sense of discontent. And perhaps you can relate to this, or maybe your patient, you've heard this from your patients. Nothing makes my skin, nothing helps my acne. Everything I use that makes my skin drier than than before I used it. There's just this sense of dissatisfaction that I still hear about and probably you still hear about. And so by necessity, I was forced to redesign the way skincare products are put together.
Okay, awesome, cool. And where are you from originally?
Personally, my genetics, my mom is Arab. My dad was German, if that's what you mean. And then I grew up in New York and then I moved to Colorado. I went to school in Colorado and I just stayed there.
Okay, cool. Excellent. And then, so is that where you're based out of now, Colorado?
Yes, just south of Boulder, Colorado, Broomfield, Colorado.
And then, where do you make your products?
Right in my lab, I have a lab, I have a manufacturing facility, and then the pharmacy products are compounded in the pharmacy.
Wow. What do you think about that's interesting. So not a lot of people make skincare products in Colorado. Well, some people make natural ones. I had some.
Natural, DIY. It's very easy to make skincare products because it's templated. It's a mold, basically. You just follow a pattern that was designed in the mid to late 19th century. And so anybody can do it. You take a little wax, you take a little oil, you take some water, mix it all up, you throw in your favorite vitamin or peptide or herb or whatever it is. Ah, here's my DIY skincare product. But the problem is the skin is a very complex organ. And in order to really get effects, you've got to get down to the basal layer and to the dermis, and you've got to figure out how to communicate to the keratinocyte or communicate to the fibroblast. You've got to tell the cell what to do with your ingredients, and that requires an understanding of cell biology, an understanding of histology, an understanding of transdermal penetration, an understanding of chemistry and biochemistry that is over the head of most DIY formulators who are just putting a little blueberry or shea butter or cocoa butter in their favorite emulsion. And it's so easy to do. The bar is so low on putting a skincare product out in the marketplace, but to really create a change, to really make something happen on the skin to the extent that a burn will heal or a trauma will heal or psoriasis or eczema or skin disease can be reduced, that requires sophistication that most sophistication, even most formulators don't have. Certainly most DIY people don't have. And it's unfortunate because it creates this sense in the patient that, ah, oh, whatever, nothing works, it's all silly, or some people will say things like, oh, I don't use skincare, I just use coconut oil, or I just use olive oil on my skin, completely oblivious to the fact that the skin is an organ and it deserves the same love and attention and nurturing that your heart or your spleen or your intestine or any other organ of the body does. This idea of rubbing stuff on the skin, oblivious to it's number one, what's happening on the skin, and number two, what you want to have happen on the skin, has created the sense in our business, you and I, in our business, that it's all BS. And that's so untrue. I'm an advocate for the skin, and I'm an advocate for the skincare for skincare products. And I want people to understand that there's so much you could do with topical delivery, if you understand number one, nutrition, number two, transdermal delivery, and number three, histology and cell biology.
Cool, excellent. And then, I talked to a lot of dermatologists that are interested in starting their own skincare line. There is a lot of competition. Do you think there's space in this industry for more?
No, absolutely not. And I would have to be the biggest dummy on the planet to get into the skincare business. But I had to. Because people are not addressing the health of the tissue. They, even dermatologists, unfortunately, are see skincare as a superficial cosmetic venture. It's not, it's health. And the skin deserves the same kind of health consideration that any other organ of the body does. And if you're not changing the health of the skin, then yes, then you're just lumped in with every other skincare company out there, and there's thousands of them. But if you are addressing the health, not of the skin, but of the cell. And at the end of the day, all disease is cell disease, not organ disease. Our focus on the organ, whether we're talking about systemic health issues, autoimmune diseases, movement disorders, dementias, whatever, or topical, our focus on the organ doesn't serve us. And even medicine itself doesn't really have a strategy for addressing the cell. Think about it. What do we do to the cell from a medicinal standpoint? We drug the cell. We excise the cell. We electrocute the cell. We radiate the cell. Why is it that all of our pharmaceutical and medicinal endeavors when it comes to treating disease are about doing damage to a cell? Because we don't have any tools for feeding a cell. Only God has tools for feeding a cell. When I say God, I mean the divine force or nature, which is nutrients. Cells need nutrition. They need vitamins, aminos, fatty acids, and most importantly, by the way, minerals, not just any minerals, but electrical minerals, because at the end of the day, the body and the cell itself are electrical systems. And nutrients only work to the extent that they facilitate the movement of electrical energy. It's called redox. I don't know if you've ever heard the term redox, reduction oxidation. And this is the secret to how I formulate. I make sure that all my active ingredients and my delivery systems are somehow going to facilitate redox, facilitate the movement of electrical energy. And that's why I use nutrition, particularly ionic minerals. In fact, we have peels and topical products that are actually ionic mineral bases that not only improve skin health, but also address disease. So that if you have a full-blown skin disease, using ionic minerals can restabilize cellular activity so your psoriasis can go away and eczema and acne and other full-blown skin diseases. And even, Dr. Chacon, dry skin can be regarded as a skin disease. You know, check this out, and I'm sure you know this. How many people do you know have dry skin? Everybody, everybody. But we sell $10 billion a year in moisturizers in this country. Everybody has a moisturizer in their purse and in their locker and the office and two in their car and three in their medicine cabinet, one in their kitchen drawer. There are people who can't go 10 minutes without applying some kind of topical product because their skin is so dry. Why is that? Because we're not addressing the health of the tissue. Dry skin is a health concern. Aging skin is a health concern. Even hyperpigmentation is a health concern. Until we start to take skincare from the realm of cosmetic, which means to arrange and rearrange, the realm of superficiality, and place it where it belongs in the realm of health, we're going to have dissatisfied customers. And that's why I got into the business. To answer your question, if you're not changing the health of the skin, don't bother, because there's 10,000 different skincare companies out there, 5,000 different skincare companies out there, and you're going to be competing with everybody. But if you're changing the health of the tissue, yes, there is a place for you. And that's what we do at True Treatments. We change the health of the tissue. And the greatest compliment I get is when people say, women say, I don't have to wear my makeup anymore. Makeup is pretend health. People wear makeup to pretend that their skin is healthy. I say, why simulate health when you can stimulate health? And that's what True Skin Health is all about.
Cool. Cool. Excellent. And let's see here. I couldn't find the address of the pharmacy. There's Trust Pharmacy, but I couldn't
No, it's Truth RX Dermatology Pharmacy. We don't have a website.
Okay. All right. Because we have electronic prescriptions.
Oh, no, we do everything by phone. I do know what you're saying, electronic prescription. We do everything by phone. We're old school. I'm old school.
Okay. What about fax?
Yeah, we do fax.
Okay. So we can send it through fax.
Yeah, in fact, why try my retinoic acid with vitamin C? You'd love it. And hyaluronic acid. Yeah, why don't you send me, do you have my number? You have a way of contacting me?
I actually don't.
Okay, so if you
But I found you on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn.
Yeah, are you active on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I have a lot of videos on LinkedIn. If you go to my Benjamin Fuchs, they call me Benjamin. That's my pharmacist, Ben, or Benjamin Fuchs. And then send me a note. I'll send you out some my retinoic acid with fat-soluble vitamin C. That's another thing. Vitamin C is a very important ingredient, but everybody's using water-soluble vitamin C, which breaks down very quickly. We use fat-soluble vitamin C, which never breaks down, penetrates through the stratum corneum. It's fat-soluble, and it's soothing and calming to the skin. So it's a perfect colleague to retinol and retinoic acid. And I always include fat-soluble vitamin C with my retinol and my retinoic acid. In fact—
Were your parents pharmacists? I was just wondering.
No. It's funny you say that, because I was the nerd kid with the chemistry set when I was little. And I was just always fascinated with chemistry. And then I became fascinated with food as medicine. And believe it or not, when I went to pharmacy school, I wanted to study how you could use food as medicine. And then I got to pharmacy school and I discovered that's not what they study at all. They just study drugs. And I remember being very disappointed, but I stayed there. I heard pharmacists made a lot of money, so I stayed. You know, this was the 1980s, so I stayed, and I was very disappointed until I serendipitously walked into the Blistex lab that one day, which changed my life. But initially, I just loved chemistry, and I especially loved the idea that you could eat to get healthy, or that food could impact your health in a negative way. And that's really what I wanted to study. And to this day, I do study that. And I have a radio show where I talk about nutrition, pretty much just nutrition. For many years, it was called The Bright Side. The network went out of business, so my show went under. But today, I have a show for estheticians where I talk about nutrition and skincare for estheticians. And I love using radio as a medium for education. And then if you look me up on YouTube, you'll see a million different YouTubes that I've done over the last 15 years or so.
Oh, I see it. Thank you so much. And then, where is your show? What kind of show did you have? Was it
I have,
radio?
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was on for from 2011 to last year. The network went out of business. It was called The Bright Side, and you can still get. There's still a bunch of shows online of The Bright Side, where we talked about alternative health and nutrition. And then my other show is called The Rogue Pharmacist, which is for estheticians and a skincare show. And then I just started another podcast called Frankie and the Pharmacist, where we talk about. I have a co-host, and we talk about alternative health.
Okay, cool, excellent. And then let me see. Current trends in skincare that you find exciting or concerning, and I'm gonna get a little bit of water. Sorry.
Ahead. Are you in Miami?
Yeah, I'm right here back home in my office, my home office.
Current trends in skincare that I consider, well, nutrition is really big, and I love that. I mean, I was a pioneer in that, and I think it's really important. I remember my first vitamins. I formulated my first vitamin C product in 1990, and I remember one of my assistants saying, "Why are you putting vitamin C on your skin?" And I thought to myself, "What a silly question! Why are you even asking me that?" But of course, back then nobody knew that you could use topical vitamin C, and of course now it's the most searched for term in the world of skincare. Cut to 30 years later. To me, the most exciting trend in skincare is the idea that you're going that we need to change the health of the tissue in order to make the skin more beautiful. And I think that's part and parcel of our understanding of the skin as an organ. You know, we give it lip service, the skin is the body's largest organ, but more and more we're starting to understand that it has a complexity akin to any other organ of the body, and it deserves the same kind of nurturing and health that other organs do. So I'm very excited about that. I'm still distressed about hearing ingredients like tallow, for example. That's like the latest thing everyone wants to use. And you know, it's still based in fads. And also what distresses me is the idea that people think that they could put something on the surface of the skin and then feel it. And then assess the value of the product by how their skin feels after they put the product on. That doesn't tell you anything about the skin. That just tells you about what you put on the skin. So it's kind of disturbing to me that there are DIY formulators and influencers who don't really understand biology or anatomy or histology or the way a cell works and are somehow purporting to that they understand or they can give advice to help people with their skin health issues. And another thing that disturbs me is the idea that we can treat skin diseases only topically. You see, I always felt like if somebody has psoriasis, they're on the way to heart disease. If somebody has acne, they're on the way to prostate disease. If somebody has oily skin, they may be on the way to PCOS or endometrial issues. So to me, I like to see the skin as a window into the biochemistry of the body that will allow you to cut the head off the snake, so to speak, and prevent systemic health issues by understanding what the skin is saying to you. So if you have a hyperproliferative disorder like acne or like psoriasis, it could be tied in with either vitamin A deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, or perhaps fat malabsorption issues. If you have rosacea, you may have achlorhydria or hypochlorhydria, or you may have SIBO. If you have acne on the cheeks, you may have gluten intolerance, or you may be on the road to Crohn's disease. So it disturbs me that we feel like we can address skin pathology topically without using the symptoms as a sort of language that the skin is using to talk to us, to tell us, hey, there's something systemically going on that we can address to prevent further health issues down the road. So to me, that the downside, you say, where things I'm concerned about is treating the skin or skin diseases as superficial only, not understanding the skin as a fully fledged organ system, that kind of bothers me. The idea that you could put things topically on the skin and then feel the product or feel what you put on the skin and then make an assessment on the value of the product, that sort of bothers me. But the fact that we're now starting to understand that there's a health aspect to skin disease or a health aspect to skin beauty that we can address, that's very encouraging.
Okay, excellent. Awesome. And then let's see. Okay. And then when did you, what was your career like when you graduated? I'm assuming this was a process in developing your own line and pharmacy and things like that. Where did you work first? Were you a retail pharmacist?
That's a great question. When I was in pharmacy school, I didn't get my internship hours in drugstores. When you're in pharmacy school, you have to get internship hours. And so most pharmacy students will get internship hours in regular retail pharmacies and such. I got my internship hours in the Blistex lab. So instead of learning to be a pharmacist in a storefront setting or in a hospital setting, clinical setting, I got my internship hours in a laboratory setting formulating products. And then when I graduated pharmacy school and I had to get a job, a real job, it was really hard because I didn't have any experience. My experience was on the Blistex lab. So finally I got a job. I'm not totally proud to say this, but I got a job at Kmart Pharmacy. It was the only job I could get. I was the Kmart pharmacist. And I found myself gravitating towards the skincare section at Kmart because I didn't know anything about drugs, but I knew about skincare. And I didn't know about skincare really like a user of skincare, a consumer of skincare. I knew about skincare like a formulator or like a laboratory person. So I knew about ingredients. And I remember pulling out the Lubriderm and the Oil of Olay and the Nivea, and I would look at the ingredients, which, by the way, everybody should always look at ingredients when they're making an assessment on a skincare product. And I would look at them, I would be horrified because there were ingredients and products that people were putting on their bodies or on their family, on their kids' bodies or their family's bodies, that I would wear gloves and a mask when I had to formulate with them. And they were in the products that people were using. And then people would, on top of all this, people would complain all the time about their skincare. Nothing's helping my dry skin. Nothing's helping my acne. Nothing's helping my wrinkles. And I kept hearing this. And just something hit me. I had this aha experience to start making products in the pharmacy. And it happened with this one guy. It started with this one guy who had a condition called alligator skin.
Yeah.
It was awful, right? And he was carrying bag balm with him. And I looked at his hands, and they were painful to look at. I couldn't imagine what they were like for him to have. And I got this just an inspiration moment, this aha experience. I went in the back of the pharmacy, and you may know this, the back of the pharmacy, it always has cool ingredients because all pharmacists are frustrated chemists. And we didn't go to pharmacy school because we wanted to dispense meds. We wanted to be chemists. And so the back of the pharmacy, there's always cool stuff. And I started mixing him some stuff. I handed it to him. It was a big goopy mess. And he took it. And 2 weeks later, he comes back and his hands were almost 100% improved. Not 100%, but almost 100%, eventually was 100% improved. And his doctor, the dermatologist in the little town that I was working in, started calling the pharmacy, and I started consulting with him. And we became, his dermatologist and myself became friends, and we started to collaborate and work with individual patients and individual compounds for individual patients. And eventually I had developed a formula book for individual patients, their skincare needs, and there are particular formulas, and they would come in and get their formulas. This was a Kmart. And then after doing this for 6 months or so at Kmart, I just started my own pharmacy. And that's how I developed my dermatology pharmacy experience.
Awesome. Awesome. Excellent. I didn't know Kmart actually had a pharmacy.
I know. That's back in the old days.
Yeah. No, we do a lot of compounding in dermatology. And actually, one of my colleagues who's a dermatologist is very successful. He started a pharmacy called Skin Medicinals. Have you heard of that? Skinmedicinals.com.
No, where? Out of where?
It's online only. Okay. I was going to ask, how do people place an order? Is it just online for your?
Yeah, for me. But we typically work with phone or fax, mostly phone though.
The medical grade.
Yeah.
Non-prescription.
Oh, the non-prescription, truthtreatments.com. with an S, truthtreatments.com. And I'm going to have Kristen, who's my sales director, I'm going to have her reach out to you, and we'll send you out what we call our truth discovery kit. And you can just experience it for yourself. One of the concepts I developed, and this is really important, is I don't think you should slather anything on your skin. You should dose your skin the way you dose your body. The idea of just rubbing stuff on while you're watching TV or, you know, talking to your husband or your wife or whatever, what does that tell you? That tells you there's nothing in the product, that it's a joke. With my formulations, you use one drop or two drops. We even have to include a little spoon, tiny, tiny, tiny little spoon. So you have just the right dose. We call it the perfect dose. So I'm going to have Kristen get your information from Nina. We'll send you out a truth discovery kit.
Cool. Thank you so much. And then let's see here. Okay. What are some challenges in running a pharmacy and also a skincare line? I have, a couple of colleagues, as I mentioned, you know, one that has a pharmacy right now. It's an online pharmacy, skinmedicinals.com. And Heather Woolery Lloyd that started her, it was called Specific Beauty for hyperpigmentation. She sold it during COVID. You probably know her.
What's your name?
Heather Woolery Lloyd. She's a dermatologist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She sold it during COVID. I've heard of numbers of like a minimum investment of $10,000 to $50,000.
Start a pharmacy or just start a brand?
Skincare line.
Oh, more than that. Way more than that.
Really?
Oh, my God. We spend more than that just monthly on Facebook. No, you need a lot. Oh, yeah, you need a lot. But really, you have to have a point of difference. You have to have a raison d'etre. You can't just say, I want to be in the skincare business because it's fun. You have to have a reason. You have to have something that you're providing the public. If you're just the one and the same, you're competing as Allergan and L'Oreal and Estee Lauder. It's crazy. These are billion-dollar companies. You have to have something that you stand for. Myself, particularly, I stand for nutrition. And that's why I say most people don't even know I do skincare. They know me as a nutritionist, and I help people with Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease and prostate issues and autoimmune issues as much as I help them with their skin. So you have to really have something that you're bringing to the table. In our case of truth, what we're bringing to the table is 100% active and functional, no fillers, no water, no waxes, no silicone, no vegetable oil. And most importantly, what we're bringing to the table is healing. Healing is beauty, and healthy skin is beautiful skin. And if you really want to make a difference in a patient's skin or a client's skin, you have to understand the health of the tissue. And even something as benign, seemingly benign, as dry skin is a health concern. Hyperpigmentation, by the way, is a huge problem. And guess what? You cannot address hyperpigmentation topically except for superficially lightening the skin, because pigment is hormonally controlled. Pigmentation is a defense mechanism. The body, when the body wants to pigment, it's going to pigment. When the skin wants to pigment, it's going to pigment. It's controlled by cortisol. It's controlled by estrogen. It's controlled by thyroxine. It's controlled by insulin. And so topically, there's a lot of people who are frustrated with their hyperpigmentation because they're not addressing it at the level of the steroid hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and cortisol, or at the level of insulin, or at the level of thyroid hormone, and they're trying to address it topically. Now, you can have your tyrosinase inhibitors, and you can exfoliate the skin, and those are all well and good, but what's the biggest problem people have when they have hyperpigmentation? It comes back. It continuously comes back, right? Because it's hormonally mediated. Your body sees pigmentation as part of the stress response. In fact, there's a system in the body which you may have heard of called the melanocortin system.
Yeah.
And the right? Melanin and cortisol, they're like two peas in a pod, because melanin to the body is a way that the body's protecting the skin. So it's linked into the stress response. And without addressing the stress response, you can't address pigmentation. And this is why it's such a frustrating condition to deal with. And that's why personally, I believe if you're going to be in the skincare business, you got to understand hormones, and you got to understand nutrition, and you got to understand digestive health, and you got to understand dysglycemia, metabolic syndrome. And you got to say, understand adrenal health and thyroid health. And that's why it really, if you ask me what one of the things that bothers me about skincare, the skincare business, is people don't address those. The DIY people making blueberry masks and, you know, coffee creams, they don't know about the melanocortin system. And they don't know about intestinal permeability issues or dysbiosis or metabolic syndrome. And these are very important criteria that need to be addressed if you're going to be in the skincare business. And I'm very passionate about it because, like you, I see patients and we see the misery. And while it doesn't, you know, I'm sure you understand this, it seems to, oh, it's just your skin, it's no big deal. It is a big deal when somebody has horrible acne or horrible psoriasis or eczema that is driving them nuts or driving them crazy, or when their babies have it. It's a serious, serious problem. And I think skincare deserves to be taken seriously. It's not cosmetic. It's not superficial. It's health.
Last two questions. Would you sell your skincare line? I think it's everyone's dream that formulates the products to have formulate a unique product versus just private labeling and selling it, you know, selling it to a bigger brand like L'Oreal or Estee Lauder or something like that. And what things would you wish you had known before starting this for all those people? I'm actually not aspiring to have a skincare line. I have a lot of stuff going on with my practice, but, and I know there's a lot of competition anyway. I actually made a bag line here, a doctor's bag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You designed it?
Yeah, in Italy. Oh, yeah, it's a doctor's bag. That's probably, I think, has less people, less competition. But
artist. You're an artist. That's
thank
beautiful.
You.
Yeah.
Those two questions. What would you have wished that you had known before doing this? And would you sell, like, are you thinking about eventually selling your brand?
Well, I had people inquire and we had investors come in and yeah, I would consider it, but really I'm a practitioner like you. I'm a clinician. I like seeing patients. I enjoy the interaction with, there's something, and I know you can relate to this. There's something special about a bond that you form with a patient, especially if you help them with something that's intimate to them, something that's really serious to them. And I don't ever want to lose that. So if I did sell my skincare line, I would always keep my pharmacy. I consider the interaction with patients to be, that a pharmacist has with their patients to be sacrosanct, as I'm sure you do. And I never want to lose that. I really enjoy that kind of interaction. And if I had to, you know, if I had to do over again, if I wanted to learn something, probably I'd probably be better capitalized if I had to do again. I did it myself. I started it myself. I would probably have taken on more investment or more, had more money to start it with. I didn't really envision it. It got a lot bigger than I thought it would, a lot faster than I thought it would. And I didn't envision that. So I would be better prepared for that if I had to do over again.
And where do people usually get investor money? Do you kind of...
To me. They come to us. I've had people come to us. I haven't really gone out and sought it, but people have come to us. And you got to be really careful because this is not just the money thing for me. This is my passion. And I consider my work with my patients to be very, very special and very sacred, really. So you can't really just take money from investors because if they don't have that same kind of attachment to the clinical aspect of the work that we're doing, you know, it gets corrupted. And I don't want that to ever happen to me. I don't want my formulations to ever get corrupted. I don't want my mission to ever get corrupted. And I don't want to ever lose that kind of connection that I have with my individual patients. That's the most important thing to me, is the relationship that I develop with my patients. And I'm not the only pharmacist. Many pharmacists will say that. That's kind of a special thing that we pharmacists have. We bond with our patients. You know, when the Gallup poll takes a poll, the most trusted profession every year, it's like the nurse, the pharmacist, the doctor. And this is very important. I take that very seriously.
Awesome. Awesome. Excellent. And because I have been approached by a lot of people, LinkedIn. I know a few cosmetic chemists. Hey, you can formulate your own products? And then when I start, it's like this.
Yeah. Why would you want to be, you know, really that white label, your product and that kind of thing? You know, yeah, it's cute, but it corrupts the whole business. It pollutes the whole business. It adulterates skincare. It's not fair. At the end of the day, the customer trusts us. And so if you have a cosmetic chemist who says, yeah, I'll make you a skincare product, what is it going to be? 80% water, 5% emulsifying wax, 2% almond oil, maybe a peptide, preservative and fragrance, a little bit of silicone. Yeah, here's your product. What's the difference between that and something I get at Kmart or Walgreens? Do you know the same product that you buy at your favorite salon or spa, you might as well buy it at Kmart, or you might as well buy it at Walgreens, or you might, what's the point? It's just so unfair. I was in Walgreens a couple of days ago. And I just happened to be looking at the skincare section. They're selling their skincare moist, I hate this word, moisturizer. There's no such thing as a moisturizer. They're selling for $15 for 8 ounces. I know what's in there. It's 80% water, 5% emulsifying wax and oils and propylene glycol and a little bit of water. And they're selling it like it's a product, a commodity that's going to make a difference in people's skin. It's mean. It's misanthropic. It's misogynistic. It takes advantage of people, and it's just not fair. If you're not making a product that's changing the health of the tissue or the organ that we call the skin, then you don't belong in the skincare business. And unfortunately, I go to the cosmetic chemistry shows and all those places, and the vast majority of ingredients aren't doing anything for a client's skin. And what's worse, if you start talking to people, they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, there's nothing you can really do. We can't really do anything for the skin." They admit it. I don't think that's true. If you use nutrition, you use transdermal penetrating ingredients, you can create dramatic changes in the skin. And that's what true treatments are all about. And if you go online and look at our reviews, you can see. It's not just me blowing smoke. You can just read the reviews.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Foods.
you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
And
It's an honor. Thank you.
awesome. And I added you on LinkedIn. Pleasure to meet you. I learned so much on the podcast. And I
We're going to
really
send you a discovery kit.
thank you for the science lesson. And then everyone stay tuned for more expert advice, pharmacist and skincare formulator, Dr. Benjamin Fuchs. And have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us on a Saturday. And have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.